So it may be hard to believe, but it was hundreds of millions of years ago that our place we call Wisconsin was under the sea, a shallow sea. And as well, we were south of the equator. We know this by looking at the fossils we found beneath our feet and the untold, the history that is unfurled around us. It helped us understand where we came from and perhaps will help us understand better where we're going. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry Mueller today. This is the Larry Mueller Show, and joining us next is Don Mikulik. He's been the curator of the Weiss Earth Science Museum in Menasha since 2002. He's on the board of the Niagara Escarpment Resource Network, and he retired as a senior paleontologist at the University of Illinois, Champaign-Urbana. He's co-authored the book Fossils from the Milwaukee Formation. And what questions do you have about Wisconsin's fossils and our history? Have you visited the museum in Menasha? What do you love about it? We'd like to hear from you next at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us, talk@wpr.org. And Don, welcome back to the Larry Mueller Show.
Well, thank you for having me.
So let's start with a little bit of the fossils beneath our feet. And what are some of the fossils that we have found in Wisconsin that have fascinated you?
Well, they're mostly marine fossils from long before the age of dinosaurs. Things like trilobites, crinoids, corals, cephalopods, things like that. Nothing much living on land at the time, so it's mostly marine fossils.
And this is because we were underwater
for a long time, several hundred million years.
And do we know how we went from being underwater to being Wisconsin?
It's a long process, but it goes temporarily with ice ages. So water goes up and down just a few hundred feet. That made a big difference back in the Paleozoic days, several hundred million years ago. But the continent as a whole has risen a bit, so we don't get flooded anywhere like we used to.
And I think most of us understand the glaciers that rolled through the eastern part of Wisconsin and missed the driftless area of Wisconsin, and that's the land formation we have today, and it's a little bit of the geoheritage that we have. And what do we mean when we say geoheritage, Don?
Well, geoheritage refers to how geology impacts our lives, our the way the area is settled, how it develops, things like that. So if you think about anything about where cities are located, transportation routes, mm-hmm. water bodies, all those sorts of things are all related to geology, and all those things impact how people settle and develop the land.
You think about the farmland, you think about the passages through the Great Lakes, and you think about the driftless region and the beautiful area there along the all the way out to the mighty Mississippi.
Right, and we also have a big feature in Wisconsin that people don't know about is certainly as well as the driftless area, and it's the Niagara Escarpment. It's a 1,000-mile-long feature that extends from about Waukesha County, as where it first appears in Wisconsin, goes north through Door County, all the beautiful cliffs, mm-hmm. Door County, through all the UP, into the Weirton Peninsula of Ontario, down to Niagara Falls, and into Rochester, New York. So that's one rock formation that covers a vast area.
A single rock formation that goes on for hundreds, thousands of miles?
About 1,000 miles.
And tell me, how does that fit into the geoheritage of Wisconsin and the state today?
Well, it's defined a lot of the eastern border of Wisconsin. Primarily, it defines Lake Michigan, Lake Huron, and Lake Ontario. Huh. So water bodies, when certainly indigenous peoples knew about this, but when the Europeans, the French in particular, first came to the area, they were settling up in Canada. And when they wanted to explore farther into the continent, they would follow these waterways, and they're basically waterways determined by the Niagara Escarpment. Like I said, these big Great Lakes are, in general, their configuration is related to the distribution of rocks of the escarpment.
So when I look at the Great Lakes, I'm actually looking at something that was helped created by this Niagara Escarpment and has been here for since before the Great Lakes, Don?
Absolutely. I don't know when it really started, certainly before the Ice Age. People always sort of talk about how the glacial ice impacted the escarpment, but actually the escarpment impacted the ice. It's a hard rock body when ice started to flow to the south. in Wisconsin. It ran into the Door County Peninsula and divided into two ice sheets. That's how strong the escarpment is. So with that, you had two glacial lobes that flowed south and essentially buried the escarpment in the southern part of the state where the Kettle Moraine is.
So this is all part of the Weiss Earth Science Museum in Menasha, which is part of the UW-Oshkosh and the Fox Cities. Tell me a little bit more about the Weiss Earth Science Museum, Don.
Its mission is to discuss, educate people about the Wisconsin's geologic and mining history, and it shows how geology affected the development of various areas, certainly around the Fox Cities area in northeastern Wisconsin. That's all based on a geologic feature. We have, for example, we have the Green Bay Packers because of the Niagara Escarpment. So they're there because of geology.
Wait, we got the Packers football team
That's right.
Of the Niagara Escarpment.
Exactly.
Explain this.
Well, there would be no Green Bay, so the water flows east in that area from sort of the high part in the central Wisconsin and flows east until it runs into the escarpment and has a right raw flow off the side into Green Bay.
Okay.
So if there was an escarpment there blocking that water
flow. No Green Bay, no Packers.
That's right.
Now, the Weiss Earth Science Museum lists is the official mineralogical museum of Wisconsin. How many other museums are there like this?
There's no other museum like this in Wisconsin. There's no other museum like this in the Midwest. And I can't say for the entire country, but a museum that focuses primarily on the geologic and mining history of a specific area like a state is a very unique feature.
Does it have fossils?
We have fossils. We have rocks and minerals. We have all kinds of things, lots of programs, educational programs, stuff.
What's one of your favorite fossils you'd find at the Weiss Earth Science Museum, Don?
Trilobites, of course. That's the official state fossil of Wisconsin. That's the kind of fossils I do research on.
And would I still be able to find fossils of trilobites in Wisconsin?
Sure. They're all over the place.
Where would I look? What's the best
place? Right in Madison here. There's places you can find trilobites. Yeah.
So you just got to, you know, we had a guest talking about space last week on the Larry Mueller Show, talking with Larry, and he said, you know, you just need to look up. You just need to look up. And with you, Don, it feels like, you know what?
Look down.
You just need to look down.
Yep.
And are there hot spots for fossils? Are there still places that we're discovering our ancient past in fossil form?
Well, there's few fossils in the north and north central part of Wisconsin, but along the western part, southern part, and the eastern part, there's places where you can, if you can see the rock exposures, you can find fossils.
And what do they tell you and how do they speak to you about our history?
Well, fossils in general are real important because it was the use of fossils to determine the great age of the Earth is one of the seminal ideas in science. So in the 1700s, people would think that anytime you'd see like a limestone deposit, it would be the same age as limestone deposits all around the world. Well, people started to realize that there's different kinds of fossil in these deposits and start to get an idea at least that there's geologic time represented here that people didn't realize existed.
That can take us back hundreds of millions of years. That
right.
can find us beneath the sea. That can find us south of the equator where
right.
we're standing right now.
Yep.
So considering that our history hundreds of millions of years ago and the fossils we found that have helped us realize that, what does that mean for hundreds of millions of years from today and the future of where Wisconsin will sit on this planet, Don?
Eventually, we're going to collide into one big mega continent again.
Really?
I
think the theory was we started as one big landmass on this planet, more or less, and it started to separate and divide.
It goes back and forth because you have these plates shifting around and they got to go somewhere, and either they all split up for a while or they all run into each other for a while, so that kind of alternates.
The tectonic plates that we talk about, is how recent of a discovery is that? Is that something we've always known or something we've realized?
That's a very new thing. So when I was a young person, that was a real radical new idea. People had proposed that for decades before, but nobody could understand how it worked. Therefore, if you can't understand how it worked, then how could it happen?
But this escarpment land feature, this is the Niagara Escarpment land feature. Mm. This is not part of tectonic plates, is it?
No. Maybe it has some origins in the fact that that's how it developed, but that's
originally?
Yeah, but that's not well understood.
So we could find ourselves hundreds of millions of years today as part of one grand landmass once again?
We could.
I've got a question about fossils that I've always wondered. Well, not always wondered, but Jurassic Park movies wondered. Don, did dinosaurs have feathers?
Certainly a lot of the little ones had feathers. Not so sure about larger ones, at least as adult large animals. So it's possible that small Tyrannosaurus rexes had feathers, but the whole reason to have feathers is to keep warm. So when you're a really big animal, you don't cool off very well overnight. So
you don't need those feathers.
Yeah,
you might shed those feathers.
Right.
So when we look around today and we see feathered birds all around us and hear their cries, are we looking at something from our Jurassic period?
We're looking at dinosaurs.
We are looking at little dinosaurs.
Little dinosaurs.
That is fascinating. So when I see the wild turkeys running across the streets, I can take that back.
They're dinosaurs.
Don Mikulik is our guest, paleontologist and curator of the Weiss Earth Science Museum in Menasha, taking your questions about Wisconsin's geoheritage at 1-800-642-1234 or email us talk@wpr.org. Bob and Clay Banks, we'll go to you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having the show. Don, I just wondered what your comments might be about the meteor impact site in southern Door County.
We have evidence discovered by people from our museum of an impact site in southern Door County. We don't know the age. It's something less than 400 million years old, and it's probably older, though, than recent glaciation and make it older than a couple million years ago. It's not well exposed, so it's difficult to study. We do have evidence, though, of things like shatter cones, which are only formed either by comet impacts or meteor impacts or nuclear explosions. I think this is going to be one of the first two that cause that thing. It looks like it's a very eroded structure, so what you're looking at is not so much a crater, but you're looking at the infill of the crater. The crater itself has been eroded away, so that suggests it's a pretty old feature.
How big is that?
It's about a mile in diameter.
Oh, wow! That would have been a big impact, wouldn't
it? It'd be a big one, yeah.
So can you see that today with the naked eye or through the air in a drone?
You can see it on Google Earth Maps. You can see a nice donut of trees around this hill that is Brussels Hill.
Is there still research to be done on this crater impact, Don?
Yeah, I'm working with somebody from the University of Vienna who's an impact specialist on that structure.
Very interesting. And when we mention the Weiss Earth Science Museum and the work you're doing there as a curator, it's not just, I mean, it's a museum that's won a few national awards. How has it been recognized?
It was given an award by American Geological Institute, which is sort of a conglomeration of all the professional geology organizations in the country. They get their education award. They gave it, but they don't give it every year. So it's a fairly rare award, and other people or places that got it was Robert Ballard for his oceanographic work and Titanic work, the British Broadcasting System for the Making of a Continent series and the Planet Earth series, writers like Stephen Jay Gould, Simon Winchester, John McPhee. These are all people that got that, and our little museum got that.
The little museum that is the official Mineralogical Museum of Wisconsin. When could we visit this in Menasha, Don?
You can't anymore. It's closed.
How can we visit the museum in Menasha, Don? What would it take to reopen the doors, and how long have they been closed? What's going on?
The whole campus is being closed, and it closed for the month of June. Some parts of it are reopening. We're not necessarily scheduled to reopen. There's still a possibility that we might stay closed or we might open up. We don't have a final verdict on that. Lots of talk about this as a done deal, but it hasn't been signed off on
yet. A done deal to reopen or a done deal?
To close it.
But it's the official Mineralogical Museum of Wisconsin, the only one we know of in the Midwest and perhaps the country. It's award-winning, and who's going to ultimately make that decision?
I think it's in the hands of the Board of Regents now.
When do you expect that decision to come?
They had a meeting last week, but I haven't heard they decided anything. They might have and just not announced it, or that might be some weeks in the future.
What would you say we lose as the curator of this museum if the Weiss Earth Science Museum were not to open again?
Well, you lose a tremendous educational institution. We get about 15,000 people a year that come to our museum, about 10,000 are school children. We're not a museum of just objects. We have objects. We have dinosaur fossils and fancy minerals and things like that. But we're focused on education and education related to the geology and mining history of Wisconsin.
Would we lose research as well?
You certainly will.
That's the Weiss Earth Science Museum, and our guest, Don Mikulik, is the curator, also a paleontologist, taking your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Let's go to Jeff in Berry Mills next. Jeff, good afternoon.
Yes, I've always had a question. Quite a few years back, around the early 90s, I excavated a hillside in the lower Coon Creek watershed. And it was all red clay, and you got down about 4 or 5 feet, and then it was kind of gray, streaky clay, really snotty stuff. And way down that far, I found a cinder about the size of a baseball, and I classify it as a cinder. And I'm just wondering, where could that cinder have originated amongst all this other clay? And there was no rocks in this stuff at all. It's just silty clay.
These sound like possibly glacial lake deposits and things of that nature.
Okay.
You might be looking at a burned piece of wood that is simply had fallen in the water, got buried in the clay. That's a possibility. You can usually commonly find wood itself, parts of trees and stuff in some of these clay deposits. But I couldn't tell you much more than that without seeing more of it.
It's an interesting anomaly when you're starting to dig and excavate and you find something that you don't expect. You come across those anomalies, Don, in your work?
All the time.
Is it the mysteries that...
The mystery, yeah.
Yeah.
You're always sort of looking for things, but you're always finding things you didn't know were was going to be there.
But those things, those anomalies help us better understand these stories, right? If we can work our way back to how they got there and what they were originally...
Absolutely.
It means something about where we are right now.
Right. So when I started looking for looking at fossils in particular, when I was a young person, I was interested in just studying trilobites and stuff. Mm-hmm. But to understand the trilobites, you have to understand the environment they lived in, the way they were preserved, things of that nature, how they changed through time. And that all takes a lot of work. And pretty soon you're starting working on much bigger subjects than just the trilobites themselves.
So the trilobites of Wisconsin, they themselves evolved.
Absolutely. Well, in a global sense, they're evolving. But certainly the sandstone areas in Wisconsin, which is a Cambrian period of geologic time, the late Cambrian of the world was originally defined by different kinds of trilobite assemblages through time. Now, that's changed a bit, and they have places where you can see more detail, so it's not divided that way. But in the 1800s, early 1900s, Wisconsin was a hotspot for studying the biostratigraphy, as they call it, of these trilobites.
What was the legacy of Joanne Klusendorf and her role at the Weiss Earth Science Museum, Don?
Well, she's the Weiss Museum was funded to a large extent by Len and Donna Weiss. Joanne was the founding director. She designed the museum and the exhibits and did it in record time, and she's the one that got this award that we talked about from American Geological Institute. And she developed programs in particular, educational programs, and it worked with all different kinds of people. She was a guest, I'm sure, several times on the show here and other shows around the state. She did an outstanding job of promoting geology, educating people, things like that, while doing research and everything else you can imagine. And the information that that she tried to provide is not just for education, but for public, government, industry, things like that. So there was interconnections with people from all those kinds of organizations. So she's won other awards. She's a real prominent in women's science education, things of that nature. So the museum is pretty much her as we look at it. She's the one that designed it. She's the one that got it right, and she's the one that knew how to promote these things in a way that a lot of museums don't. A lot of museums have nice objects.
Right.
They have a general story, but she got very specific about how this relates to Wisconsin and the community that you live in.
Beyond education to industry to our politics to
right.
everyday life, everything that's happening here in our geoheritage and how it fits into that. But you would be a part of that legacy too, wouldn't you, Don, as the curator?
I'm sure I am some small part of that, hopefully. There's other aspects of things like geoheritage, too, and that is if you look at different communities, they develop because of different geologic characteristics, things that document transportation, but mineral resources are another thing.
Sure.
Wisconsin was formed as a mining state. We're the Badger State because of miners. At one time, back in the 1830s, Europeans first started to migrate to Wisconsin. There were Cornish miners who were out of work in Cornwall, and they came to mine lead in southwestern Wisconsin. People came and looked at the holes that they were digging and said, it looked like a bunch of badgers are digging here, so we became Badgers. In the meantime, at the same time, Illinoisans would come sometimes just to dig in the summer and stuff like that. They weren't there all year long. And somebody noticed that they looked like suckerfish, behave like suckerfish migrating up and down the streams. So Illinoisans were initially called suckers while we were called badgers.
Is that true? Are you just making that up?
No, I've seen a newspaper article in 1850, Chicago Tribune, talking about that.
The suckers of Illinois.
Well, I don't know. I can't remember quite said it that way. But put it
this
way.
The Badgers of Wisconsin, I've heard that story before, but the suckers of Illinois is new to me.
Yeah, at the time I spent down there, that wasn't a frequently used term. And you got to think about it this way. Lincoln had to die to change it from the land of suckers to the land of Lincoln. So,
wow. And that's, in some weird way, our geo-heritage today
part of
in
our
Wisconsin.
And Illinois' geo-heritage.
Don Mikulik, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much. And we're going to keep an eye on the future of the Weiss Earth Science Museum and wish you and the museum all the best. I appreciate your wisdom today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
When we continue, we'll look at what's changing when it comes to our own understanding of human evolution. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry today, and this is WPR News.